أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، وصلي اللهم على سيدنا محمد شرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحابته ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. اللهم لا علم إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما. اللهم افتح علينا حكمتك وانشر علينا رحمتك يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. وصل اللهم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله الكرام، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. يقول المصنف سيدي أحمد زروق رحمه الله تعالى ونفعنا الله وإياكم به في الدارين، الخاتمة. This is the conclusion of the second mawqif, which was al-istiqama. He says, اعلم وفقنا الله وإياك لما يصلح ديننا ودنيانا ورزقنا اتباع الحق في متقلبنا ومثوانا، أن التوبة مفتاح والتقوى براح والاستقامة إصلاح، والعبد لا يخلو من زلة أو تقصير أو فترة، فلا تكن منك غفلة عن التوبة ولا إعراض عن الأوبة ولا إهمال للقربة، بل كلما وقعت فتوب وارجع، وكلما أخطأت فاسمع وأطيع، وكلما قصرت أو فترت فلا تنقطع، وليكن همك في تخلية ظاهرك عن القبائح، ثم في إقامة رسمه بوجود النصايح، حتى إذا صار لك الفرار من القبائح ملكة والوقوف على الحدود شبكة، توجه لقلبك بالإحضار ولحقيقته بالفكر والإذكار، ولا تعجل للنهاية قبل تمكن البداية، ولا تقف مع البداية دون تطلع للنهاية دون تطلع للنهاية، فإن من طلب بداية في نهاية فاتته العناية، ومن طلب النهاية في بداية فاتته الهداية. واعلم بأن القواعد والأحكام لا بالحكايات والأوهام، ولا تلتفت، واعمل بالقواعد والأحكام لا بالحكايات والأوهام، ولا تلتفت للحكايات إلا من حيث التقوية وعلى ما تريده، ولا للأخذ بما تقتضي من الصور أو تفيده، والزم في ذلك الطريق أن ترجع إليه وأصلا تعول في أحوالك عليه. وأحسنها طريق ابن عطيلة لما فيه من الدلالة على الله، ولا تأخذ من كلام الغير إلا ما يوافق طريقك، مسلما ما وراءه إن أردت تحقيقك. واهجر الهجر جملة واطرح لما لا تستشعر فائدته لأول وهلة، وإياك والتشديد على نفسك قبل أحكامها وترخيص لها في شيء من أحكامها، فإنها تفر من الوسط أبدا وتريد الاستقصاء في الغي والهدى.
I'm going to read this through because I translated it, and then I'll do it. Just so we do the khatam in the English and the Arabic, and then I'll just read the translation.
وَاطْلُبْ صِدِيقًا تَسْتَعِينُ بِهِ عَلَى أَمْرِكَ وَتُفَاوِضُهُ فِيمَا يَعْرِضُ مِنْ سِرِّكَ وَجَهْرِكَ، فَإِذَا صَحِبْتُهُ فَعَامِلْهُ عَلَى قَدْرِ حَالِهِ وَعَطِيهِ مِنْ نَفْسِكَ على قدر نقصه وكماله، لأن الصديق الكامل معدوم والرفيق الموافق في هذه الأزمنة قبل أن يدوم. واحذر الكاف على دينك ودنياك إلا من تحقق فيه وجود النسبة الصحيحة لمولاك، بعلم لا يصحبه هوى ولا رياسة، وعقل سليم من آفات السياسة، ولا تغفل عن مكر الناس وخفيات أحوالهم، واعتبر ذلك من أصولهم وأعمالهم، فالأصيل لا يأتيك غالبا إلا بخير، والدخيل هون عليك أصره هونك عليه أصره عند هول السير، وراعي في كل بلد ما يغرب على أهله، فلا تغفل عن حكمة الله في الخلق، ولا أحد الدمع في عين الفرق، وقد بينا بعض ذلك في القواعد فانظره في محله. وصاحب الوقت في الموافقة بالرفق والاحتمال، وإياك والغمزة والإسترسال، فإن الإسترسال في المباحات يجذب القلوب إلى خلف، ويصير الرجل الحازم كالولد الخف. واعمل لدنياك كأنك حي أبدا واعمل لآخرتك أنك ميت غدا ولا تهمل ظاهر دنياك ولا تغفل عن متقلبك ومثواك واحذر الرياسة جهدك فإن بريت بها فاعرف قدرك وحدك وانصح لله نصح من يعلم أنه يطالبه واستسلم لحكمه استسلام من يعلم أنه لا يغالبه ودع لكل شيء أعتادا تنجو من الآفات ورتب أورادك تجد بركة الأوقات ولا تتعصب في حق ولا باطل تبقى سليم الصبر ولا تدع ما تستحقه فضلا عن غيره تنجو من المكر والغدر فإن من ادعى فوق رتبته حط لدونها ومن ادعى عين رتبته نوزع فيها ومن وقف دون ما يستحقه رفع فوق ما يستحقه ولا تعطي الجليس من حالك إلا ما يقتضي حاله فإنك إن تجاوزت حالك لحاله احتقرت وإن رجعت بحاله إلى حالك هجرت ولا تطلب أحدا بحق قريبا كان بعيدا لأن البعيد لا حق لك عليه والقريب أجل من أن توجه العتب إليه ولا تظن أن في الدنيا من يفهم عنك ما أنت فيه إلا بما هو فيه وكل أحد إنما يفهم ما يتبعه يقتفي ولكن إذا تقاربت المقاصد والهمم تعاونت النفوس بمواطئ القدم ولا تحتقر شيئا من ذكر الناس ومما لا بأس به لما يداخره من البأس واحفظ سرك فإن أمنت عليه وإن أمنت عليه إذ ليس بآمن من قلبك من تبثه إليه ولا تدع ذرة من وردك ولا تسمح فيه في حال قصدك وجدك فإن فاتك في وقته يستدرك في غيره وإن لم تقدر على عينه يشغل وقتك ببدره على قدره ولا تطع نفسك في لحظة ولا تصدقها فيما تدعي في لفظة واحذر العزم جهدك في الأمور فإذا عزمت فبادر قبل أن تدور وفتش نفسك فيما وجب عليك وطلب وكل شيء أنت عنه في غن فاتركه وإن كان مما ندب وذلك مما لا تدعوك الضرورة أو الحاجة المحققة للخوض فيه وعمل الناس بما تحب أن تعمل به وتستوفي وذلك كله مجموع في قول الشاعر إذا شئت أن تحيا ودينك سالم وحظك موفور وعرضك صين لسانك لا تذكر به عورة امرئ فعندك عورات وللناس ألسن وعينك إن أبدت إليك معايبة من الناس قل يا عين للناس أعين وعاشر بمعروف وجانب من اعتدى وفارق ولكن بالتي هي أحسن وما أخذ ذلك من قول رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم اتق الله حيث كنت وأتبع السيئات الحسنة تمحها وخارق الناس خلق حسن وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كل ابن آدم خطاء وخير الخطائين توابون وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام إن روح القدس نفذ في روعي أن نفسا لن تموت حتى تستوفي رزقها وأجلها فاتقوا الله وأجملوا في الطلب الحديث والحاصل أن التوبة والتقوى والاستقامة أصول الخيرات في الجملة والحق واضح وتفاصيله جليلة والأمر لله والتوفيق بيده والسلام. That's the end of the موقف. There's one more موقف which is short and it won't take very long, inshallah, get through it. So I'm just going to read this. This is a nasiha that he finished the istiqama with. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. No, may Allah give you and us success and rectify our worldly and otherworldly lives and grant us adherence to the way of truth in our journeys and our sojourns. That repentance is a key and taqwa is vast and uprightness is the source of rectification. Furthermore, a servant is never free of either blunders or shortcomings or lassitude. Therefore, never be neglectful of repentance and never turn away from the act of returning to Allah and never neglect acts that bring you closer to Allah. Indeed, every time one of these three occurs, repent and return. Every time that you make a mistake, listen and obey. Anytime you display shortcomings or show lack of enthusiasm, don't desist in your efforts. Let your main concern be to remove from your outward state anything displeasing, and then maintain its outward state through continuous counsel. Continue doing this until you find that your fleeing from anything outwardly displeasing is second nature, and that your avoidance of the boundaries of prohibited things is as if a protective net is placed before you. At this point, it is time to turn inward toward your heart's presence and to its reality with both reflection and remembrance. Don't hasten the end result before you have completed the beginning, but likewise, don't begin without looking toward the end result. This is so because the one who seeks the outset at the end loses providential care, and the one who seeks the end at the outset loses providential guidance. This is so because the one who seeks the outset at the end loses providential care, and the one who seeks the end at the outset loses providential guidance. Act in accordance with principles and appropriate legal rulings, and not in accordance with stories and fantasies. Don't even consider stories of how things went with others except as a tonic to strengthen your resolve. Certainly not as a reference based upon their outward forms or what they seem to be revealing. In all of this, depend upon a clear path you can refer to and a foundation that you can depend on in all of your states. The best of these is the path of Ibn Ataillah radiallahu anhu, given that in it is a clear direction to Allah. Do not take from others' words unless it is in accordance with your own path, but submit to their implications if you desire realization. Avoid all forms of vain and foul speech to your absolute utmost. Put aside anything that you cannot discern its benefit immediately. Beware of being extremely hard on yourselves before you have obtained a mastery over them. But also be aware of being too lax with the self in anything that concerns sacred rulings. This is so because it is constantly fleeing from both moderation in everything, and it inclines towards extremism in both matters of deviance and guidance. I'm going to repeat that. Avoid all forms of vain and foul speech to your utmost. Put aside anything you cannot discern its benefit immediately. Beware of being extremely hard on yourself before you have obtained a mastery over it. But also beware of being too lax with it in anything that concerns sacred rulings. This is so because it, the self, is constantly fleeing from moderation in everything, and it inclines towards extremism both in matters of deviance and guidance. Seek out a companion to help you in your affair and take his counsel concerning matters that occur from both your inward states and your outward affairs. If you do indeed take his companionship, then treat him in a manner commensurate with his state, and give him of yourself based upon his inabilities and abilities, because the perfected friend is no longer to be found. Indeed, in these times, even a suitable companion who is agreeable rarely lasts. And beware of the majority of people in matters that concern your religious and your worldly affairs, unless you have ascertained that he has some sound relationship with his Lord, and based upon a knowledge that is free of caprice or love of leadership, and a sound intellect free of the pitfalls of hidden agendas. Do not be heedless of the machinations of others or their hidden states. Consider these two from both their origin and their actions. A person of character and family distinction rarely affects you other than with good, and a person of low origin's roots usually cause him to disregard you when times get tough. So people from good families that grow up with a sense of honor, those people, their roots are going to show up when times get tough. Whereas people that grew up in environments where honor is not important, the idea of keeping your word, the idea of these type things. I mean, people that make tawbah, there can be a change. But he's talking generally. The general rule, خَيْرُكُمْ فِي الْجَاهِلِيَةِ خَيْرُكُمْ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ إِذَا فَقَهُ. The best of you in Jahiliyyah are the best of you in Islam if they come to understand that there's a reality to good families. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ said, إِيَّاكُمْ وَخَضْرَ الدِّمْنِ. He said, beware of the green in the coming out of a foul source. And they said, what is that? And he said, إِمْرَأَةٌ حَسْنَا مِنْ مَنْبَتِ سُوءٍ. A beautiful woman from a bad family. So there's a reality to that. And the Prophet ﷺ said, النَّاسُ مَعَادٍ. people are mines. There's gold, there's silver, there's copper, there's lead, and then there's toxic metals. So people are metallic. There's good metals and there's bad metals. And people are created from these. I mean, it's part of their form. Be extremely vigilant of the dominant qualities of a given people in any given land. The idea of stereotypes. That there are realities to lands. For instance, Córdoba, Qadi Abu Bakr ibn al-Arbi, who was from Seville, he said one of the strange things about Seville was that if an alim died in Seville, they had to take his books to Córdoba to be sold. And if a musician died in Córdoba, they had to take his instruments to Seville to be sold. Cities have qualities, and those qualities will tend to affect the people of the city. And there's reality to cities. There's reality. That's why Hijrah is part of the deen. To this day, Córdoba is a more intellectual city. And you can ask any Andalusian. It's well known. Córdoba is a city that has more interest in scholarship and these type of things than Seville. Seville is a party city. It's a place where people still to this day. And so this is the reality of places, times and places. And that's what he's saying. You should know the place you're living in. You should know the place you're living in because there's a reality to it. People from Liverpool know what Liverpool's about. And they know certain areas. Granby Street. If you're from Liverpool, you know what Granby Street is. It's a place where certain things happen. And that's true of every city. You go to every city, there's certain places. It's rare that those places ever change. I mean, they can change with Islah. If a muslih comes, a muslih can do amazing things. He can turn hearts, he can turn people, but it's a difficult thing. In Mauritania they have a proverb, Al-Hilla, Lat ibn al-Rajul, Wal-Rajul ibn al-Hilla. That a town can't make a man, but a man will make a town. And then he said, don't be heedless of the divine wisdom in the creation, and notice gatheredness and separation. Some of this we have already covered in the book Al-Qawa'id, so take a look at it there. Organize your time in a manner appropriate to the time's specific needs, using gentleness and toleration. And be wary of either harshness or laxity, moderation. You go to an extreme, you'll fall onto the other extreme. You burn yourself out, then you lose all your energy. You go at a moderate pace. In long distance running is a very well known principle. The one with the moderate pace wins the race. There's two types. The one that go too slow at the outset and they can never catch up. And the ones that go too fast, they get burnt out. It's the people that learn that moderate pace. They're the one. And also thoroughbreds. The interesting thing about a thoroughbred is that a thoroughbred horse, which is an Arabian horse, a thoroughbred has to be held in by the jockey. Because if a thoroughbred bolts from the gate, it'll literally burst its heart. Because of the nature of a thoroughbred, it doesn't want anybody to be ahead of it. So it'll just run full force. And in a long race, its heart will burst, literally. And so the jockey has to hold it in until that last quarter. And that's when he lets the reins go, and then it bolts. And that's why, if you've ever watched a thoroughbred race, that's when it gets exciting. When they let those reins out. Because the jockeys literally have to hold it. And that's the aql for the nafs. Because you want to be able to maintain it till the last stretch. And that's when khalas. Spiritually, that's what you have to do. That's why a lot of the shuyukh in the last period of their life, they literally go inward. Imam Malik, the last period of life, he didn't even go to the masjid. He was not seen in the masjid in that very last period of his life. And a lot of the shuyukh in that very last stage of their life, they completely go inward. Shaykh Muhammad Amin al-Shinqilti, one of the most brilliant scholars of this age. And he was somebody known, unbelievable knowledge, phenomenal. He had a memory that was not to be compared. What he memorized was unbelievable. If you ever hear a dars of his that's been lectured, it's like a book talking. Just unbelievable. He was brilliant. He was an absolute genius. Knew all the dalils, knew usul, knew mantiq, hadith, fiqh, everything. He's a bahar, ocean. In the last period of his life, his son told me, people used to ask him questions, and he'd just say, La adri. I don't know. And people know, Zumrat al-Hajj, the same thing. last few years people go asking for fatwas and things. He just said, Allahu A'lam. Dead. Work for this world as if you will live forever, but work for your next life as if tomorrow you die. Now, the meaning of that, people misinterpret that. Because if you think you're going to live forever, you're going to procrastinate. Because you have forever to take care of your dunya. But if you think you're going to die tomorrow, when in terms of your akhirah, that's what you're going to put first. So put your akhirah before your dunya. If you take care of your akhirah, dunya will take care of itself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us, مَنْ جَعَلَ هُمُومُهُ هَمَّنْ وَاحِدًا, meaning هَمَّ الْآخِرَةِ كَفَ اللَّهُ لَهُ سَائِرَ الْهُمُومِ. Whoever makes his anxiety one anxiety, meaning the akhirah, Allah will take care of the rest of his anxieties. Thus, do not neglect the externals of your worldly needs. In the meantime, do not be heedless of your end and final resting place. In other words, take care of your dunya, asbab, but don't ever be heedless of where your final resting place is. Be extremely vigilant about avoiding positions of leadership. But should you be tried with such matters, at least know your own limitations. Be absolutely sincere to Allah with the sincerity of one who knows full well who is placing demands upon him. Surrender completely to his decree with the submission of one who knows he can never overcome him. Have a firm foundation for all of your affairs and you will be safe from their pitfalls. Organize your devotional practices and you will find your time is extended due to the blessings in it. Never be fanatical. لا تتعصب. Never be fanatical about anything. في حق ولا باطل. Whether it is truth or not. Don't be fanatical about anything. Whether it's haq or batil. Because in reality, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the knower. Everything that you know is filtered through your intellect, and there's always the possibility that your filter is polluted. That's why Imam Shafi'i said, I believe I'm right, but I could be wrong. And I believe that my opponent is wrong, but he could be right. That's what he means. لا تتعصب. Don't be fanatical and obstinate. There's only one way, and that's it. My way. Never be fanatical about anything, whether it is the truth or not, and your heart will remain in a state of soundness towards others. Never claim anything you are entitled to, not to mention what you're not entitled to, and you will be safe from tricks and treachery. This is so because anyone who claims some rank above his own will fall in humiliation. Whereas those who claim a rank they warrant will have it stripped from them. And this is called ya nisba. One of the worst things you can do is make claims that you're such and such, you're so and so. The Prophet ﷺ said, لا يزال المرء يتعلم حتى إذا قال لقد علمت فإن قاله فقد جهل أو كما قال. A man will continue to learn until he says, now I know. And when he says that, he's ignorant. So making claims is a waste of time. The ya there is a high maqam. يَقُولُونَ هَذَا عِنْدَنَا غَيْرُ جَائِزٍ وَمَنْ أَنْتُمْ حَتَّى يَكُونَ لَكُمْ عِنْدُ. They say this is غَيْر جَائِز with us. عِنْدَنَا. Noon. That's noon. النِّسْبَة. تَنْتَسِبُ إِلَىٰ قَوْمٍ إِلَىٰ مَذْهَبْ شَيْءٍ. The noon there is like مَعَاشَرَ النُّحَاتِ. مَعَاشَرَ الْفُقَهَا. Like when they say الْكَلَامِ عِنْدَنَا. They mean الْكَلَامِ عِنْدَ النُّحَاتِ. And that na is for the musharaka of, if you put yourself in that position, it's a claim. If you're just a student, then don't make that claim. If you claim something that's not yours, Allah will humiliate you. Those who claim a rank they warrant, it'll be taken away from them. So even if you are that person, it's going to be taken away from you for making the claim. While those who claim a station less than their true rank will be elevated to even higher levels than they actually deserve. Never give your companion anything of your state other than what his own state warrants. This is so because if you go down to his level, then you will be shown contempt. And if you attempt to raise him up to your level, you'll be abandoned. So deal with people at their level. Don't go down to their level if they're lower than you in their behavior and their attitudes. Don't go down to their level. And also, don't expect them to come up to your level, because some people won't be able to. So just deal with people at where they're at. Never demand a right from anyone, whether an intimate or a stranger. The reason for this is a stranger owes you nothing. And someone close to you is too precious to direct your blame at him. I mean, if he's really a qareeb, by forcing his hand, by saying, you have to give me what's my due, you might lose that person. And what's more important, your haqq or maintaining that relationship? That's qaraba. Never assume that anyone in this world can really understand your circumstances other than from the perspective of his own circumstances. This is so because in reality, everyone only sees things in accordance with their frames of reference and their personal path. However, when aims and purposes and aspirations are similar, people tend to work together toward a common goal. So don't expect people to understand what you've been through, all your troubles in your life. They have their own troubles. They can tell you their stories. Only Allah understands you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what you've been through. Don't bother telling it to other people, because they'll only filter it through their own experiences. They'll either consider you a whiner or a complainer, or say, you know, you want to hear a real sob story? Let me tell you what happened to me. So don't waste your time. But when people have similar aims and purposes, they can work together, which is why the Muslims can't work together anymore. Because everybody's got their own little hidden agenda. Whereas if you have a same goal, hadaf, it's similar, khalas. But if I'm working for me, you're working for you, he's working for him, khalas. It's all going to be argumentation, disputation, hubriyasa, all these things. Never belittle any talk that involves absent people. لَا تَحْتَقِرُوا شَيْئًا مِنْ كَلَامَ النَّاسِ. Never belittle any talk that involves absent people. Kib hal fulan. Don't think that's a little question. Because you might find out, and it's ghiba. Never belittle any talk that involves absent people, even if there's no harm in it, due to the probable possibility of harm entering into it. Guard your secrets, even if you feel safe with someone. Because the one you indulge your secret to is not a safer place than your own heart from whence it emanated. And Imam Shafi'i said, if you tell people your secrets, don't be angry at them when they tell others, because the same thing that forced it out of your breast forced it out of theirs. Never leave an atom's weight of your regular devotional practice. He's talking not about fard, he's talking about your awrad, the Hizb of Qur'an that you do, those things. Never be lenient with yourself in either lax times or times of high resolve. Don't be lax on yourself. Even when you feel lax, force yourself. When you have high resolve, khalas, don't say, oh, I can slow down a little bit. Indeed, should you miss some of your practice in a given time, redress it in another time. If you're not able to do your usual practice, at least occupy yourself with something else similar. So if you have something that you read, and you haven't memorized it, you missed it, then do 500 prayer on the Prophet ﷺ, something that you can do as a way of ta'weeb for that thing. Never obey your ego for even a moment, nor believe any of its claims, no matter what it says. Be vigilant about your resolve in all your affairs to your utmost. In fact, should you resolve to do something, do it immediately before the resolve wanes. Examine your soul constantly in matters that you are obliged to do or are needed to be done. Anything you are in no need of doing, leave it, even if it is something that recommended. Because there's always wajibat that you can do. That means not involving yourself in anything other than something absolutely necessary or a real discernible need. Treat others just as you would want to be treated and fulfill what is due. All of this is really epitomized in the words of the poet when he said, if you desire to live such that your religion is safe and your portion is full and your honor is sound, guard your tongue and never mention others' faults, remembering you yourself have faults and others have tongues. Watch your eye. Should it ever reveal to you the faults of others, say to it, oh my eye, other people have eyes too. Live treating others well and avoid aggression, and should others aggress, leave them, but in the best way. The source of these words is in fact the traditions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he said, be vigilant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wherever you are, and follow a misdeed with a good deed and it will remove it. And treat others with the most excellent of character. In another, he, peace and blessing of Allah be upon him, said, every child of Adam makes mistakes, and the best of those who make mistakes are those who seek to redress them. Again, the Holy Spirit inspired my heart's core that no soul will die until it fulfills its decreed portion of this world and its appointed time here. So be conscious of Allah and make your request with dignity. In summation, repentance, awareness of Allah, and uprightness are the foundations of all benefits. The truth is manifest and its details are weighty and significant. The affair belongs to Allah. Success is in His hands. Salam. So that's the end of the istiqamah. And now we'll do the last section here. Bismillah. Al-mawqif al-thalith. موقف التحقيق والعرفان والترقي في مقامات الإحسان ومداره على ثلاث مقدمات تتبعها ثلاثة أمور مهمات. The third موقف station is the station of realization. This is after istiqama. So it goes تخلية تجلية. That's the traditional. The first one is تخلية, the توبة, getting rid of all the bad stuff. The second is tahliya, becoming ornamented with uprightness. And the final one is tahqiq, is where the gnosis comes. And I shouldn't even be talking about this, but I'm just reading from the book. Khalas. These are all intellectual clarifications, not experiential. So, apologies. موقف التحقيق والعرفان والترقي, and rising in the stations of ihsan, of excellence, ihsan. مداره على ثلاث مقدمات. The axis or the pivot of all of this is upon three prolegomenas that are followed by three important matters. المقدمة الأولى, the first introduction. في كمال التخلي. ومدارها على ثلاثة أشياء. The first is in perfecting your emptying out. The emptying out of the ego, of the self. الأول تحقيق التقوى بالورع حتى لا يبقى له في العقل ريب ولا في العلم ريبة. Realizing taqwa through scrupulousness until nothing remains in one's intellect of uncertainty nor in one's knowledge of doubt. ولا في العمر تقصير, nor is there any remissness in his actions. وَهَذَا شَيْءٌ لَا يَصِرُ إِلَيْهِ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ, and this is a matter that no one can arrive to it except by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمِفْتَاحُهُ صِدْقُ الْقَصْدِ إِلَى اللَّهِ فِيهِ وَالْعَمْرُ بِمَا قَدَرَ عَلَيْهِ فِي حَالِهِ لِأَنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى يُعِينُ الْعَبْدَ عَلَى قَدْرِ نِيَّتِهِ وَيَفْتَحُ لَهُ عَلَى قَدْرِ هِمَّتِهِ. The key to all of this is sincere direction and purpose to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in it. An action based upon what one is capable of doing given his condition. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give help to a servant commensurate with his intention. And He will give him openings commensurate with his aspiration. So the degree of your niyyah is the degree of the help you get from Allah. The degree of your aspiration is the degree of the fath that you get from Allah. The more aspiration you have, the bigger your fath will be from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wallahu al-fattah. Inna fatahna alayka fathan mubina. Allah is al-fattah. Al-fatihatu is the first chapter of our book, al-Quran. The opener. It doesn't mean the opening. Al-fatihatu. The opener. يفتحه. وَيَظْهَرُ ذَلِكَ بِشَوَائِدْ أَحْوَالِهِ فِي أَعْمَالِهِ. And those things manifest with the witnesses of his states and his deeds. فَمَنْ تَوَرَّعَ عَمَّا يَقْدِرُ عَلَيْهِ حَمَاهُ مَوْلَاهُ مِمَّا لَا طَاقَةَ لَهُ بِهِ بِالتَّحَرُّزِ مِنْهُ. So whoever distances himself with scrupulousness from that which he is capable of doing through his own struggle, Allah will protect him. His master will protect him from that which he has no ability, no power or strength to protect himself from by putting him in a protective state from those things. وَحِكَايَاتُ هَذَا الْبَابِ وَوَقَايِعُهُ وَتَفَاصِيلُهُ كَثِيرَةٌ غَزِيرَةٌ. And stories concerning this and also events in the past that have happened and details about this are extremely resplendent. We have many examples. وَعَلَيْهِ مَدَارُ كَلَامَ الْقَوْمِ فِي مَنَاحِيهِمْ. And upon this is the foundation of much of the speech of the people of this science in their aims and purposes. الثاني, the second one, كَمَالَ الْإِسْتِقَامَةِ بِتَحْقِيقَ الْإِتِّبَاعِ عَلَى بِسَاطِ الْوَرَعِ وَتَرْكِ مَا يَشُكُّ فِيهِ عِبَادَةً كَانَ أَوْ عَادَةً مَا لَمْ يَجِبْ فَيَأْخُذُ بِالْأَحْوَطِ مَا قَدَرَ عَلَيْهِ مَعْ تَبَصُّرِهِ فِيهِ لِأَنَّ مَنْ أَخَذَ عِلْمَ حَالِهِ عَنْ أَقْوَالِ الْعُلَمَاءِ فُتِحَ لَهُ عَلَى قَدْرِهِمْ. The second is the perfection of his uprightness by realizing perfect adherence upon the ground of scrupulousness and the abandonment of that which gives him doubt in both devotional practices and habitual matters as long as it's not an obligation. And he always takes the most cautious opinion based on what he's able to do with inner sight, with proof in it, because the one who takes the knowledge of his state from the words of the scholars will have an opening given to him based upon that. And the one who takes his states from the text of the sacred law, his fatwa will be from that. And the one who joins between the two of them, this is the one who's been given inner sight. And he, هو المتبصر. وَمَنْ أَخَذَ أَحْوَالُهُ عَنْ نُصُوصَ الشَّرِيعَةِ كَانَ فَتْحُهُ مِنْهَا وَمَنْ جَمَعَ بَيْنَهُمَا هُوَ الْمُتَبَصِّرُ فَهُوَ أَتَمُّ نُورًا وَأَوْفَى حَالًا وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ. He has more perfect light and is in a more complete state. الثالثُ, the third one, نَفْيُ الشَّوَاغِلِ وَالشَّوَاغِبِ وَذَلِكَ بِتَرْكَ الشَّهَوَاتِ وَهَجَرَ الْمَأْلُوفَاتِ الْعَادِيَاتِ مِنْ حَيْثُ أَنَّهَا شهوات ومألوفات لا من حيث ذاتها حتى لا يبقى في قلبه داعية لغير الحق والحقيقة في كل بساط بحسبه فهو يضايق نفسه وإن كان موسعا عليها في الظاهر ومرجع هذا الوجه أنه لا يقدم على شيء إلا بنية صحيحة تدري مجرى الباعث حتى لا يكون له عنده شيء وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ. The third one is to negate preoccupations and disturbances, and that is by abandoning his appetites and by giving up those customary practices and habits from the perspective of there being appetites and habits, not from them in and of themselves. In other words, it's not the appetite or the habit in and of itself. It's the fact that it is an appetite and it is a habit. That's what needs to be worked on, not the thing itself. حَتَّى لَا يَبْقَى فِي قَلْبِهِ دَاعِيَةً. Until there is no enticement to other than the truth and reality in this arena and in accordance with it. So he constrains himself, even if he gives it free rein outwardly. So inwardly, he's constraining himself, even if outwardly he gives it some free rein. The foundation of all of this is that he never enter into an affair except with a sound intention that is in accordance with an incentive that is true, until nothing of this remains. There's nothing that's going to preoccupy him, disturb him about this. Al-Muqaddimah Thaniya. Fi bisat al-tahalli. This is in the ground of tahliya, of now ornamenting. So he did the first, which is takhliya, and then tahalli. ومداره على ثلاثة أمور. This revolves around three matters. إضعاف القوة النفسانية عن دواعي كمالها الحسي والمعنوي. وذلك بالجوع والسهر والصمت والخلوة في اعتدال واعتزال دائم. ولذلك أمر بأن لا يحضر السماع ولا يسمع الأخبار ولا يتكلم مع الأغيار ويدع جميع ما كان مألوفا عنده قبل سوى الواجبات لتنجمع حقيقته لما يريد. The first of these three is that he weakens the psychic power, his psychic power of the nafs. He weakens it in the ways in which it prevents his perfection. عن دواعي كمالها. From those things that give it strength. حسي and معنوي. Both sensory and meaning. وذلك بالجوعي. With hunger. With vigilance, night vigilance. Sahar, staying up in the night. Sumt, practicing silence. والخلوة, in retreat. In a balanced way, في اعتدال واعتزال دائم. With balance, not going to extremes, and also with this continuous state of عزلة, of being distant. ولذلك, for this reason, he was commanded not to go into these public gatherings of dhikr during this time, nor should he listen to news, nor should he speak about others other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he should leave all of the things that are habitual for him other than the obligations, in order for his reality to be completely gathered for that which he desires. I mean, we're talking, this is a high maqam, we're finishing the book, but he's talking about very high spiritual states now. الثاني تقوية الدواعي بالتزام الذكر منوعا في المبادي مفردا في التوسط مجموعا في النهاية. Strengthening the incentives to continuously do dhikr that is varied in the beginning, that it is singular in the middle period, and then it's gathered in the end. In other words, you vary the dhikrs in the beginning so that the nafs doesn't get tired and things like that. Sometimes you do this, sometimes you do that. In the middle portion, it becomes single. And then in the end, khalas, it's all dhikr of Allah. It doesn't matter what they're doing, it's all dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Either awwal tathir, because the first is purification. Wathani is tithhar. And the second is bringing about these stations. وَالثَّالِثِ تَنْوِيرُ. This is again تَخْلِيَة, تَخْلِيَة, تَجْلِيَة. The third station is illumination. وَمَا أَرَدْتَ أَنْ يَلْزَمَكَ فَالْتَزِمْ مَلْزُمِيَتَهُ وَلِذَا قَدْ يُؤْمَرُ بِهِ الْمُبْتَدِي وَهُوَ أَوْلَى لِلْاَعْتِيَادِ وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ. And what you want to be maintained with you, then do those things that will necessitate that. So if you want to be in a state of dhikr, do those things that are necessary to maintain that state. Keeping good company, avoiding bad company, and doing those things that remind you of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For that reason, that somebody at the beginning, لِذَا قَدْ يُؤْمَرُ بِهِ ذِكْرُ لِلْمُبْتَدِي وَهُوَ أَوْلَى لِلْاَعْتِيَادِ. In other words, doing dhikr all the time in order to just become accustomed to it. He's saying that sometimes a student or an aspirant will be given this to do dhikr for that reason, just to become completely accustomed to it. The third, انتهاج الحقيقة وابتكارها بإجادة الفكر على قدر الموقع, is taking on this path of reality by fikr. There's dhikr and then there's fikr, which is the movement of the spiritual center, the basira, through meanings. You're going into ma'ani, based upon the place that you're at. لِأَنَّ مَنْ أَجَارَ فِكْرُهُ دُونَ مَوْقِعٍ أَتَعْبَ نَفْسُهُ بِحَدِيثَ النَّفْسِ. If you have your this fikr, this type of spiritual concentration, in other than its right place, you only exhaust yourself with egoistic talk, the internal chatter of the self. The self will become accustomed to obsessive compulsive thinking, but waswas, which can actually be a cause. رُبَّمَا كَانَ سَبَبَ حَجْبِهِ لِلْأَبَدْ فَفْهَمْ. It might even cause him to be veiled from these realities permanently. المقدمة الثالثة في موارد التجلي. The final one في موارد التجلي relates to these تجليات, which are where these divine meanings begin to emerge into the basira, the understanding of this person. وَهِيَ ثَلَاثَةٌ عَنْدَ تَقْسِيمٍ. There are three, the hur al-faq wal-iftiqar, that the absolute manifestation of impoverishment and bereftment, إما بانبعاثه حقيقة أو بالطرار, either because this is in reality his state, or one has been taken to this by complete and absolute and utter necessity. وذلك من استشعار النقص والفاقة, and that is through engendering this experience of your own human deficiency and your impoverishment before Allah. لا من حيث الجد والطاعة, not from the perspective of one's enthusiasm and one's obedience. فالعمر إنما يراد لإشغال النفس بالحق لا للإشراف على أسرار الحق. Because, and this is really important, the purpose of action is to occupy itself with the truth, not that you should be overlooking the secrets of reality, of the truth. In other words, what he's saying, this is really important, that the purpose of all this is that you were created to worship Allah. It's not out going looking for all these secrets and all these things. The purpose of this is that you were created to know your Lord, to worship your Lord. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens up things to you, that is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do. He does whatever He wants. Even if you don't get those openings, you still have to do this work. And that's the point. That's the point. And there's a famous, it's a story, but I mean the meaning is true, of a man who worshipped Allah for 70 years, and then Allah sent him an angel to tell him that Allah didn't accept any of his worship in all those 70 years, and that he was for the people of the fire. So he was told that, and then the angel said, what will you do? He said, I'll just keep on doing what I'm doing. And he said, why? None of it benefited you, and it's not going to benefit you in the future. He said, because that was what I was created to do. And then the angel was told, tell him that he's been forgiven and he gains my paradise. That's the point. Whether you get what you want or you don't get what you want, it doesn't matter. Do what you were told to do and don't be concerned. The results aren't yours. Whatever Allah wants to do. And I asked Murabt al-Hajj about that. He said, and Mukhlis does not worship Allah for any states or stations. And Ibn Abi Jamrah, at the end of that book that you read, he said, do not worship Allah for unveilings, for tajalliyat. He said, concern yourself with learning what He commanded, fiqh, and what He prohibited, fiqh, and then act according with that, pray in the proper times with presence. He said, if you do that, you will be the Ibrahim ibn Adham of your time. And he was one of the great, greatest people of the Qawm. That's what this teaching is about. Learn your fiqh. Learn your basic aqidah as understood. Learn your fiqh and then act according to it to the best of your ability. Pray your prayers on time. And this is what it's all about. And he's getting there. He's moving towards there. And then he said, لِأَنَّ مَا عِنْدُهُ لَا يُنَالْ إِلَّا بِالْمِنَّةِ. Because what Allah has is a gift. So if He gives it to you, it's not your business. وَإِنْ كَانَ بِسَاطُهُ اتِّبَاعَ السُنَّةِ. Even though the grounds for this gift is following the sunnah. That's the grounds. الثاني وجود الإطاق في عين التقييد والزام الحقيقة بلوازم التوحيد. That understanding the existence of this absoluteness in the essence of its limitation. What he means here, إلزام الحقيقة بلوازم التوحيد, that cling to the حقيقة but in accordance with the necessities of Tawheed. One of the things that the great Abdul Salam ibn Mashih said is, وَنْشُلْنِي مِنْ أَوْحَادِ التَّوْحِيدِ. Protect me from the dangers of Tawheed. And this is what he's talking about. What he's talking about here is that we have to believe that Allah is Allah and the servant is the servant. We have to believe the Prophets salawatullahi alayhim wa salam are true. They're human beings who came and they existed and they spoke the truth. What can happen in states of complete engrossment in Tawheed is that you lose sight of the Asbab. And this can be a temporary experience, which can lead to shakha. This is what happened to Aisha radiallahu anha. People misinterpret that hadith in the Sahih. When her innocence was announced by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the Qur'an, her parents told her, thank the Prophet. And she couldn't. She said, لا والله لا أشكر إلا الله. That in no way was because she was upset at the Prophet Hashaha. This is a waliya of God. She's one of the closest human beings to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She was the beloved of the best of creation. And anybody that thinks that has diminished her stature. But she was in a state of complete witnessing of Tawheed. And at that point, even the asbab were not present for her. The Prophet ﷺ was the means by which her innocence was declared, but she could not see the means at that point. She was in a state of absolute istighraq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so she wasn't capable. But that is not a state that you can maintain. If you maintain that, you go into heresy. Because the Prophets are true, and they are the means, and you have to acknowledge them, and you have to recognize also, we believe in the creation. We don't believe this is an illusion. This is a type of reality, but it's contingent reality. And so we maintain that, even though we have this understanding of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's absolute unity, that everything in relation to Allah is cancelled out. We understand that, and that is true. But at the same time we understand that we're real, Allah created us with haqq, that we have a hisab, and we're going to be taken to account for our actions, and this is real. What we're doing here is real. This is not illusion. And your life is meaningful, it's real. And you have to really consider yourself, all that's gone into your making. Billions of cells. Every 3 months your entire body is renewed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every 3 months. By their own outward sciences, you're a miracle, you're a walking miracle from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have consciousness. You have the ability to know the Lord of the worlds. Nothing else in this existence has that ability like the human being has. And this is the unique gift that each one of us has, is that we have this capacity. فَلَا يَتَقَيُّدُ بِذَوَاهِرِ الْفِعْلِ عَنْ بَاطِنَ الصِّفَةِ. So he is not limited by the outward manifestations of action on the inward quality. وَلَا يُبْطِرُ أَحْكَامِ الْفِعْلِ ذِمَا عَرَفَهُ أَوْ عُرِّفَهُ. So he does not in any way invalidate the rules of actions in what he knows or what is either kasbi or wahbi, what he learns through his own efforts or what's given to him from Allah. In no way will you ever invalidate the rules, the sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's warning because there's people that get to this point and there's all this waham and they actually will believe that sharia is, I'm beyond that, I don't need to do that anymore. That was just to get to this state where I'm at now. And Imam Junaid was asked about a man who said that he reached the reality and he no longer had to pray. He said, Na'am, wasal. Wasal ila jahannam. He's reached something, but he reached to hell. So this is what he's saying. And these are warnings for people that you always have to maintain. Don't let shaitan play with you. بَلْ يَتَطَلَّبَ الْمَعَانِي وَيَلْتَزَمَ الْمَبَانِي. No. That he should seek meanings, but he should always cling to the forms through which those meanings come. Tawheed came through the form of the Messenger of Allah. And so we cling to the form of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Even though what we're taking from him is La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. The meaning, the ma'na is La ilaha illallah. But the mabna is Muhammad Rasulullah. And we need both to maintain our sanity. We need both to maintain our sanity. وَكُلُّ مَا لَا يَعْقِلُهُ فِي بِسَاطِ الْبِدَايَةِ لَا يَقْبَلُهُ فِي حَقَائِقَ النِّهَايَةِ. Anything that he cannot comprehend at the beginning of his path, he should not accept at the end of his path. So the aqidah that you learned at the beginning of your path will be true at the end of your path. There's no secrets. Now I really know. The sharia is true. The outward is true. All that will happen in the end of this path is that you realize these meanings. They're no longer things that intellectual. This is tasting now. This is what he's talking about. It's tasting tawheed. You learn the aqidah through the intellect. Now you're tasting what it means. The meaning is the same, only now it's like you've heard about the honey, you've looked at the honey, now you've tasted the honey. That's the difference.
وَلَا يَصْرِفُهُ قَبْلَ إِرْجَعِهِ لِأَحَدِ وُجُوهِ الْمُحْتَمِلَةِ وَلَا يُثْبِتُهُ دُونَ أَدِلَّتِهِ الْمُوَصِلَةِ.
So he should not remove it before he's taken it back to one of its possible meanings, nor should he confirm it without sound proofs, أَدِلَّ مُوَصِلَةً, that take us to the truth of it. The third, إِعْطَاءُ كُلِّ حَقِيقَةً حُكْمَهَا دُونَ مُدَاخِرَةٍ فِي الْوُجُوهِ وَإِلَّا دَخَرَ عَلَيْهِ الْوَهَمْ فِمَا يَتَخَيَّرَهُ أَوْ يَرْجُوهُ. Giving every reality its ruling without entering into all the various aspects. وَإِلَّا دَخَرَ عَلَيْهِ الْوَهَمْ. Or you go into waham, illusions. فِمَا يَتَخَيَّرَهُ. In things that you're imagining about it. Or you're hoping. So he's warning about psychological states. The difference between a true spiritual experience and a psychic experience, they often outwardly look very similar. And this is why a lot of Western people, they have these, what they think are transcendental spiritual experiences. It's just waham. I mean, there's a wonderful Buddhist story that fits this meaning beautifully. There was a monastery where all the monks were enlightened. And one day, this great master came to the monastery and they were all expecting to hear this talk on enlightenment. And he said, there's no such thing as enlightenment. It's just illusion. And so all of them left the audience except for three monks. He said, why didn't you leave? He said, here we've been here for all these years thinking we've reached enlightenment and it was just premature senility. So that's what he's saying there. It's just an illusion. فَإِنَّ الْبِسَاطِ غَلَطْ وَالْمَحَلْ مَحَلُّ ضِيقٍ وَقَنَطْ. Because this ground is faulty and the place is the place of constriction and loss of hope. إِلَّا لِمَنْ أُيِّدَ وَأَنِسَ وَقَرِيلٌ مَهُمْ. Except for those who were given ta'eed from Allah and they found this intimacy, and how few are they. وَلِعُسْرِ هَذَا الْبَابُ وَضِيقِهِ أُحْتِيجَ إِلَى ثَلَاثَةِ أُمُورٍ وَهِيَ الْمَفْهُومَاتِ الْمَذْكُورَةِ. And because of the nature, the difficulty of this matter and its constriction, there were three things that were absolutely needed, and these are understandings that have been mentioned before. The first, أَوَّلُهَا وُجُودًا مُرَبِّي بِسِرِّهِ وَسَيْرِهِ. You need a murabbi, somebody that will help you grow on this path, both with his secret and with his own movement. وَقَدْ عُدِمَا. And they no longer exist. الثاني, see that? That's what he said. There's no more enlightenment. So people think we're just senile. الثاني مع وجود الأول. The second is with the existence of the first. وَبَقِيَ كُلٌ مِنْهُمَا دُونَ الْآخَرِ. And each one of them exists without the other. في هذه الأزمنة. فَاحْتِيجَ لِأَخْذِ كُلِّ وَاحَدٍ مِنْ جِهَتِهِ. So one has a sir, the other has sayr. That's what he's saying. He said you'll find teachers that still do what he mentioned earlier. You'll find people that do have these things. They have elements. But you're not going to find this completed person. That's all he's saying. And this is 9th century. Some of the scholars have disagreed with Sidi Ahmed Zarruq about this. Ibn Ajiba radiallahu anhu was a great faqih, a great sufi, he was really a marvel of his age and of every age. I mean, there is that disagreement, but this was his view. And this is also the view of Imam al-Hatimi from Andalusia, who actually said that he was the last one that had completed this inward and outward suluk. So, Allah Ta'ala alam. But what he's saying is, if you do find somebody that can help you, just take him with his shortcomings. That's all he's saying. Recognize that, you know, you have to lower your eyes for certain things. Recognize that people have idiosyncrasies, that people, their nafs aren't perfected and you're going to have trouble with them. That's just a given. Because if you go out trying to find this perfect, you're just going to be frustrated. That's his advice. الثاني الآخر معين. If you can't find a murabbi, the second one he's saying is a brother who will help you. بِحَالِهِ وَعَمْرِهِ. Somebody who has a state with Allah and he's working. وَإِنَّهُ لَأَعْدَمُ مِنْ مَعْدُومٍ. And he's even harder to find than nothing. He's less than nothing. In other words, his existence is even less existent than non-existence. لَأَعْدَمُ مِنْ مَعْدُومِ وَإِنْ وَجَدَ I mean, don't get depressed. وَإِنْ وَجَدَ فَعَلَ تَفْكِيكَ And if you find him, he's crumbled. حَسْبَ مَا رَأَيْنَاهُ He's saying, this is in accord with what we've found. بَلْ لَمْ نَرَى تَامًا فِي وَجْهٍ مِنَ الْوُجُوبِ We have never seen anyone perfect from every aspect. And this is a man, I mean, he saw Imam Sakhawi, his sheikh was Abd Abbas al-Hadrami, he saw the greatest shaykh of Fez of his age. He was living in a very rich age. It's all relative. He had big openings. This is one of the greatest people in the history of Islam. So it should be understood that his criteria are extremely high. فَإِنَّ لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّ لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ And it's true. وَلَكِنْ قَارِبْ مَنْ قَارَبَ يُعِينَكَ عَلَى مَا أَنْتَ بِيهِ قَارِبْ مَنْ قَارَبَ But be near to those who are near. In other words, if you find somebody that has some of these qualities, stick with him, be close to him, and he'll help you in what you're doing. وَيَرْفَعُكَ لِغَيْرِهِ فَانْتَبِهِ And he will raise you up to other than him. So be aware of this. الثالثو, the third one. تَفَقُدُ الْحَالِ بَعْدَ الْكَمَالِ وَالشَّفَقَةُ مِنَ النَّقْصِ فِي الْحَالِ وَالْعَمْرُ بِمَا يُقْدَرُ عَلَيْهِ عِنْدَ الْقُصُورِ Seeking out this state, بَعْدَ الْكَمَالِ, after one has this kamal, وَالشَّفَقَةُ مِنَ النَّقْصِ فِي الْحَالِ And being worried about losing the state that you gain. وَالْعَمْرُ بِمَا يَقْدَرْ عَلَيْهِ عَنْدِ الْقُصُورِ And doing what one is able to do when there's remissness. وَالَّذِي أَرَاهُ لِيَمْتَارِنَا أَنْ يَأْخُذَ خَلَاص So that's the third one. Is تَفَقُدُ الْحَالِ Continuing to strive for this state that comes after this completedness. And also being fearful of losing what one has in any case. And acting according to what one is able to given the shortcomings that exist. So there are shortcomings. Do your best. خلاص. This is the end. Now he's come to the last section. This is his advice. This is the end of the book. وَالَّذِي أَرَاهُ لِيَمْثَالِنَا أَنْ يَأْخُذُ بِتَصْحِيحَ الْمَوْقِفَيْنِ My opinion concerning those like us, that's from his humility, that we should be concerned with rectifying the first two mawqif. At awwalain. In other words, we should be concerned with tawbah and istiqama. We have to start with tawbah, work towards istiqama. Wal ilman bil maqam al-thalith fi ba'd al-ahyan. And we should have a concern about the third station in some times. In other words, there might be times where your spiritual state is very high. And at that point, it might be beneficial. He's saying, but our focus should be on the first two. تَعَرُّضًا لِنَفَحَاتِ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ وَخُصُوصًا فِي الْأَيَّامِ الْفَاضِلَةِ And this is in order to expose oneself to the fragrances of the mercy of Allah, especially during virtuous times like Ramadan, لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ يَوْمُ الْجُمُعَةِ لَيْلَةِ الْجُمُعَةِ قَبْلَ الْفَجْرِ These are times when this should be the focus. Opening up your soul for the possibility of gifts from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مثل أواخر شهر رمضان وعشر ذي الحجة The 10 days of ذو الحجة وما كان في معناها And things like that. فَإِنَّ الشَّارِعَ قَدْ اَعْتَبَرَهَا بِذَلِكَ وَنَغْفُرُ عَنَ الْعَذْرِ وَاللَّوْمِ فِي الْجَمِيعِ Because our lawgiver gave them great regard And we should also overlook in all of these matters blame and reproach. وَنَسْتَعِينُ عَلَى أَمْرِ اللَّهِ بِاللَّهِ And we ask help from Allah, this affair, by Allah. ثُمَّ بِإِفْرَادِ الْهِمَّةِ فِي الْمَقَاصِدِ And then by singularing out our aspirations in our aims and purposes. وَإِفْرَادِ الْحَقِيقَةِ لِلْمَطَالِبِ And also by singling out the reality in what is being sought. وَنَجْعَلَ الْآخِرَةَ نُصْبَ أَعْيُنِنَا And we should place the Akhirah at the forefront of our lives. إِنْ عَقَلْنَا If we have any intellect at all. وَلَا نَسْمَعُ لِمَنْ بَرَقَ وَرَعَدْ And we shouldn't listen to those who thunder and roar. وَلَا لِمَنْ قَامَ وَقَعَدْ Nor those who jump up and sit down. فَإِنَّ الْقَوْمِ فِي هَذِهِ الْأَزْمِنَةِ نَادُوا الْحَقِيقَةَ بِالْحَرَجِ Because the people of the qawm of this age, they are claiming the haqiqa بِالْحَرَجِ نَادُوا الْحَقِيقَةَ بِالْحَرَجِ I don't know exactly how I want to translate that. But. وَالْآخَرُونَ مَشَوْا إِلَى الْحَقِّ بِالْعَرَجِ And all the others, they were moving towards the truth like cripples. فَلَا عِلْمَ عَنَ الْحَرَامِ يَصُدُّ وَلَا وَرَعَ عَنَ الْإِسْتِرْسَالِ يَرُدُّ They have no knowledge about the haram that prevents them, nor do they have any scrupulousness about laxities that repel them. وَهَذَا إِمَامَ الْفِقْهِ عَبْدُ الرَّحْمَنِ إِبْنَ الْقَاسِمِ And here the Imam of Jurisprudence, عَبْدُ الرَّحْمَنِ إِبْنَ الْقَاسِمِ The Mudawwana is from him. He was the greatest Maliki scholar after Imam Malik. If you make your action the preoccupation of your time, when will you ever achieve realization of your actions? Allahumma innaka. Now this is his khatam. This is a great khatam. Bismillah. Allahumma innaka ta'lamu anni wada'tu hadha al-kitab liyantafi'a bihi fi nafsi. Oh Allah, indeed, surely you know that I only wrote this book in order to benefit it for myself. وَأَنْفَعَ بِهِ إِخْوَانِي وَأَبْنَأَ جِنْسِي And to benefit my brothers and those on this path like me. فَانْفَعْنَ بِهِ So benefit us by it. This is dua mustajab, inshallah. This is wali min awliya illah. And this is his dua. This isn't our dua. فَانْفَعْنَ بِهِ قُلْ آمِينَ نفع من كان له ذلك بتأييدك وأعانه على ذلك وجود تسديدك فلم يقصر فيما طلب منه ولم يغفل فيما صدر عنه وجعل منفعته عامة لكل من رآه وابسط نوره في حقيقة كل من طالعه واقتفاه وبلغه لقلبي وقلوبهم في عافية كاملة شاملة جامعة حالا ومآلا فإنك ولي ذلك والقادر عليه يا مولايا يا الله أنت حسبنا ونعم الوكيل والحمد لله والسلام على عبادي الذين اصطفى وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كان الفراغ من تعليقة مبيضته على يد مؤلفي الفقير إلى مولاه أحمد بن أحمد بن محمد بن عيسى البرنسي ثم الفاسي عرف بزروق أصلحه الله في 24 من شوال سنة 883 عرفنا الله خيره وخير ما بعده ببجاية أمنها الله تعالى والحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا طيبا مبارك كمل بحمد الله وتأييده وتوفيقه وتسديده